Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Have you ever suffered the consequences of a bad decision you made? It's a lonely place. Because you have no one to blame but yourself. You've done something wrong. You finally come to the place where you've admitted it, hopefully. You maybe even tried to repair the damage, but the effects you've caused are hard enough that you can't fix them all. So where do you find the strength to carry on through an experience like this? And where is God in it all? Because where do you look for hope when the one that you turn to, God Himself, may also be the one disciplining you for the choices you've made? Well, last week I told you about how the Israelites entered their promised land. They asked then for a king. If you were here last week, we talked about this, that they asked for a king just like all the other nations around them had. And eventually, God gave them exactly what they wanted. The name of the first king was Saul, and after Saul, God chose David. If you know King David, he's the one that you know from David and Goliath. He's the same guy. And David had a son named Solomon, and he became the next king, and he was known for his great wisdom. However, starting with Solomon especially, the Israelite kings all turned away from God in various ways. And it got so bad that this one kingdom united around God split up. It got divided into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Unfortunately, that just doubled the problems. If you read through in the Bible books like 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you start to get the sense of what these Israelite kings were like. No matter whether it was the northern kings or the southern kings, they all rebelled against God. They turned the hearts of their people, the Israelites, away from God. And God would send lots and lots of prophets. In fact, if you read any of the prophets from the Old Testament, there's a good chance that they're speaking to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom to call them back to God. But the people just wouldn't listen. And so I'm going to give you a few examples. These are really all from the Bible that just goes one to another. But in the south, the southern kingdom was called Judah. If you ever hear talking about Judah, they're talking about the southern kingdom. The first king after the split was named Rehoboam. And this is what the Bible says. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, was king in Judah. Judah, the people there, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the sins they committed, they stirred up God's jealous anger more than their fathers had done. So it was getting worse. And the next king's name was Abijah. The Bible says Abijah became king of Judah, and he reigned 3 years. He committed all the sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, as was the heart of David, his forefather, had been. So the kings in the south were not good. But the kings in the north weren't any better. In fact, in many ways, they were even worse. The northern king was often just called Israel, okay? And Jeroboam was their first king. So this is a funny little story, I think. Funny, like, not funny, ha-ha, but like funny, like, what? What kind of an idiot makes these kinds of decisions? He was afraid, this king, Jeroboam, that some of his people were going to go down south. Because in the south, they had the temple, which was in Jerusalem. He was afraid that his people in the north were going to go south. So he was like, well, how do I keep them from doing this? After seeking advice, so he actually asked other people, this king made 2 golden calves. Now, you would think he'd know this story, but I'm going to remind you of this story. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, when he got the 10 commandments, while they were up there, Aaron, his brother, was encouraged by all the Israelites. You know, we think Moses is dead. We don't want to follow that God anymore. Give us a God. So he made a golden calf. And it did not turn out well for the Israelites at this time. God wants faithfulness. He does not like it when we build a golden idol to some foreign god. So it's weird to me that the first king, the northern king, Jeroboam, thought, I know that story. The problem was they probably just didn't have enough golden calves. So I'm going to make twice as many. I'm sure it'll all work out. It didn't. God was not pleased. And the things, this is how it started, their first king in the north. It only got worse. In the Bible it says, Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of his father and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. And then it says, in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, became king of Israel. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of Jeroboam and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. So we're just going on and on. Then King Omri, a few years later, did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him. Finally, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So things, and these kings especially, just kept getting worse and worse. God was watching it all over years and years and years, generation after generation. And God called all kinds of prophets to warn his people and these kings to return back to him. In fact, if a prophet was coming to you and you were the king, you were not happy about it, because God was coming to tell you what you were doing wrong. So the prophets were disliked immensely. In the northern kingdom, God sent prophets. You might recognize some of these names, like Elijah and Elisha, Amos, Hosea. Those are the kingdom, northern kingdom's prophets. And then in the southern kingdom, God sent different ones, like Micah and Joel and Zephaniah. The prophet Jeremiah, big book of the Bible. He's all talking to the southern kingdom to call them back. Isaiah, those 66 chapters of the Bible, it's all talking primarily to the southern kingdom to call their hearts back to God. God didn't want more sacrifices in the temple. In fact, the Israelites were saying, oh, we're in the temple, nothing bad can happen to us. And God was like, not true at all, because I don't want more sacrifices. I want your heart, I want your faith, I want your trust. And he wanted them to live out their faith rather than just give him lip service. God warned them, but the north, and both the north and the south, that if they didn't repent, if they didn't return to him, they were going to experience consequences. And those consequences eventually came for both kingdoms. God would say things like this through the prophet Jeremiah: reform your ways, reform your actions, and I'll let you live in this place. If you really change your ways and your actions, deal with each other justly, if you don't oppress the foreigner or the fatherless or the widow, if you do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, I will let you live in this place. He's trying to show them mercy. Yes, they've done things wrong, but if they just admit it, if they just say they're sorry, they won't have to suffer these consequences. God warns them, though, if they don't repent, he will reject them and abandon them. At one point, in fact, God even tells the prophet Jeremiah, don't even pray for these people anymore. Don't offer any plea. Don't petition me for them. Don't plead for me for them. I won't even listen to you anymore. Because at that point, the die had been cast, the decision had been made by God's people not to return to God. God allowed them finally to have their way and to experience the consequences and the destruction he had been trying to keep away from them for so long. So then in 721, this is BC, okay, 721 BC, the Assyrian army came and captured the northern kingdom, took them off to Assyria. And then in 598 BC, from Babylon, the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, captured the southern kingdom, and took everybody else to Babylon, to another country. So God sent his people, they call this, into exile. Okay, for 70 years they were in exile in another country. Because eventually consequences catch up. There are consequences for sin. And it was true for them, and it's true for us today as well. At some point, we're going to suffer those consequences from our sin. But while the Israelites were in exile, got to remember, God was still with them. He didn't abandon them completely. God just wanted the Israelites to turn and repent to him, to reclaim their identity as the people of God. So in the New Testament, St. Peter understood our lives as Christians as being the same as those people, the Israelites, that were in exile in Babylon. In his first letter, 1 Peter, he wrote this. He was writing to God's elect exiles in the world. He argued that God wanted his people to be able to live in a culture maybe that was very different than that people didn't follow him, that would be very counter to their faith, but they could still live their lives in the light. Okay? That they could be a city on a hill. When the Israelites were in Babylonian exile, God's goal for them was not to overthrow the government. It was not to overthrow the Babylonian king. No, he was just doing what God had told him to do. But God wanted them to find a way to live out their faith in this foreign land. It's interesting, they struggled to find faith when they were in charge. But sometimes when you go somewhere else, it's easier to find that faith. I was told a story like maybe 13 years ago. It's right when I first came here. We had a high school lock-in, and there was a speaker from a group called Voice of the Martyrs. And he told this story, secondhand story, but he talked about some people that were missionaries from, I believe it was South Korea, but I do not remember that any longer. But they went on like a mission trip. And when they're on this mission trip, there were like 12 of them, and they got caught, and they got in trouble, and they got put in jail. I've told the story here before, but maybe you don't remember it. But what they did was they ripped up the Bible that they had into 12 pieces. So they allowed them to take, each of them had like 1/12 of the Bible, and they got to be in prison for a while with just this part of the Bible. Eventually, they were rescued, they were let go, and they went back home, and the pastor, he had one of these other people that were along, came and wanted a visit with him one day. And this guy came, and the guy said, "Don't you miss being in prison?" And the pastor was like, "I know exactly what you're saying." Because they explained that even though it was awful and the suffering was horrible, their faith was so much more alive when they were in prison than they were just on a daily basis. I think God knows that about us. Sometimes it takes us suffering the consequences of our sin to help us realize what we were missing, our faith in God. Sometimes we just have to be put in a completely awful situation to recognize how important God is in our lives. The Israelites needed to humble themselves before God in order to learn how to be light in a very dark place again. So, when you experience the consequences of your sin, what can you do? Well, you can focus on what is in your control. You can be faithful to God. Just these little things, like be faithful to God in the little things. No matter how others are acting around you, try to be that light in the darkness. Follow his commands. You might say, what does God want me to do? Well, read the Bible. He has all kinds of things he wants us to do. Start focusing on following one command at a time. Trust in his love. And then this is the hardest part, waiting. Waiting patiently until those consequences are through. And remember that he has redemption and salvation. Like, he is not going to leave you suffering forever. Remember, after 70 years, God delivered the Israelites from their exile. And during that entire time, he was with them. This is the same promise that you have today from God. There are always going to be consequences for our sin, both individually and then as a Christian community. And when we find ourselves in this time of exile, in this time of suffering, under the weight of those consequences, we are called to repent of our sin, to turn back to God, and wait for his salvation. We can find courage and strength in His presence because while God may allow us sometimes to suffer for the sin in the world, He always promises to suffer there with us and in the end to save us from our sin. Amen.